I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
Hi, I'm Christos Gate.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gate.
I'm Barry Gregory.
Hi, this is Derek Donovan.
And this is Victor Dandridge.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
Going home to the place where wild nerds roam.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jane Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Inside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and let me just thank Kirby Crackle for that great intro, and also, of course, the Fat Man himself, Kevin Smith, for recording that intro for us. Episode 42 is coming at you, and before we get going, I have to warn everybody, we're going to be talking
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Sorry.
Hunt!
I couldn't help it.
Omaha. Omaha! Wait, what's Blue 42 from?
I can't remember, but it's stuck in my head like a... As soon as you said it, that's all I could think of. It's got to be from a movie.
I think it's from The Longest Yard. It's got to be The Longest Yard. Longest Yard. Blue
42.
Urban Dictionary.
Now.
Wait, I'm on it.
let's not go in that direction. Although, we should preface this episode by saying we are talking about adult comics, so
yep, it is.
We should up the factor, the rating on the on this week's podcast.
Kids,
turn it off.
Don't listen to this one.
Kids,
turn it off.
This episode may talk about things that are adult themed.
Penis snatch.
I gotta edit all that shit. Fuck it.
All right, guys. So let's first say how everybody's doing tonight. I'm doing great. Josh, how are you doing on your 50-acre estate?
Well, the Milford planetoid is fine, and clearly I am separated from the rest of the universe since I'm the only healthy person on this podcast.
That's true. Everyone else is battling a cold. I have a head cold myself. Tommy, in the tiny little box that is your condo, how's your day going?
I've got a bit of a chest cold, but I am solving that problem with copious amounts of whiskey.
Copious amounts of whiskey is my Bob Dylan cover band. That doesn't work there. Damn it!
That's yeah.
That wasn't good. That wasn't good. Yeah. I'll come up with something else. Mike, in the desert moon that is Louisiana, how are you doing, my friend? And I know you have a cold, so keep it short.
Actually, it's not a cold. It's acid reflux. The acid has gotten up into my throat.
Way to bring it down, everybody.
I'm dying. Thanks for laughing, you bastards.
You're welcome.
Damn it, I gotta edit that now, too.
You can say bastards at least. Come on now, guys.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna go a little bit into the background about why we're gonna be talking about R and X ready comic books and why they're important. So R and X ready comic books go a lot further back than a lot of people think with Tijuana Comics or Tijuana Bibles. These were comics that were ripoffs of some very popular comics like Popeye, Felix the Cat, and others. And they were pornographic in nature. But a lot of these also were revealing into, you know, both social commentary and what was going on at the times. So looking at some of these Tijuana Bibles and some of those comics are very interesting. And also a lot of comic books that we're going to explore today that are X-rated or R-rated aren't X-rated or R-rated for sexual content. They're X-rated or R-rated for other content. To give you an example of a comic book that is R-rated or totally X-rated for content, I'll talk a little bit about Mouse. Now, Josh, where is Mouse X-rated?
Germany.
That's right. Maus is not allowed to even be sold in bookstores in Germany because Germany has a full-on ban on all Nazi symbolism. Maus, of course, is the story of a young couple who get caught up in the Holocaust and are captured by Germans. The Germans are portrayed by dogs. The Jews are portrayed by mice. And the Americans... Actually, I think the Americans are dogs. The Germans are cats.
The Germans are cats.
Yeah, I already corrected myself. Nitwit.
Wait, are the Germans are cats?
Yeah, that's what I said. The Germans are cats.
No, Tom. Okay. The Germans are cats.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, everyone, for correcting me after I corrected myself.
I'm pretty sure they're cats, though.
I'm pretty sure the Australians are pigs.
But carry on.
I remember. Anyways, so...
Polish people are pigs.
Polish people are pigs, yeah.
And the cats are the Germans.
I'm pretty sure the Polish people were pigs, now that I'm thinking about it. You bastards. So this comic book is banned in Germany because of all the Nazi symbolism. Now these Nazi symbols are being used to glorify the Third Reich, and actually it's the exact opposite. It's showing the horrors of the Holocaust, but they had to ban this book anyways because they had the ban on that. So, Josh, why don't you give us an example of an R or X-rated comic book that you think about?
That I think about or that I've read? Well,
or that
so I was going to bring up Maus is a politically hot comic, and the one I went for is actually a little further down the road, I would say. I've read Black Kiss and Black Kiss 2. I don't know if are anybody familiar?
I am not.
Yeah, I thought you would have been. So. Black Kiss is the story of, I'm trying to see where I should start, because Black Kiss 2 actually covers the sort of the origin story, and it's basically a succubus who passes on her infected seed to a man who is on the Titanic as it's sinking, and basically in exchange for his life, he becomes a vessel for this demon, and he passes this on through sex. And so it is the story of sort of this vampiric succubus sort of plague that passes from one person to another throughout history. And it really covers sort of like 1908 all the way up till present day. The comic book is extraordinarily graphic. Kids, you're not allowed to see this. When it was originally sold, in the U.S. and Canada, it had to be sold in a completely covered sleeve. You couldn't even see the cover. It was basically entirely enclosed. A lot of countries didn't put it on the shelves at all. Canada eventually removed it. And just recently, I was surprised, Comixology started carrying the graphic novel Black Kiss 2, the accumulated series, which was originally 6 comic books.
And, besides the fact that it was explicit, is it a good read?
It's a very interesting story, and it's very well drawn. It's sort of that, like, sort of hard-boiled, sort of Sin City, sort of pencil-scratched black and white. It's very well done. It really is sort of a testimonial about how both the visual media, I think, really influences or, you know, has a bad influence on modern society, and how that's sort of depicted as sort of the disease out of the passage of the vampiric curse on from one person to the next, and how the vampires basically go through just murdering the hell out of anybody who either finds out that they've been alive for a long time or that they just feel are bad people while they go about passing this their affliction along through sex and depravity.
Action Depravity is my Wham cover band. Boom! That totally works. Speaking of someone who totally works, Mike, try to swallow the acid in your throat long enough to tell us what you like as an R and or an X-rated comic.
I would go with Garth Ennis' seminal series, The Boys. It is about a group of operatives hired by the government to keep tabs on the superhero population. In this reality, superheroes are not actually heroes. They spend most of their time just as celebrities and aren't really good at using their powers. And the one time when they do try to use their powers to stop a terrorist attack, they end up crashing the plane. So that's why the boys exist. It is a very explicit, full of graphic violence and graphic sex. In fact, one of the miniseries to come out of The Boys was called Herogasm, to give you an idea. It's where all the heroes go onto an island filled with hookers and just have the craziest sex they can out of the prying eyes of everybody. And what they tell the public is all the heroes are disappearing because they're going on out into space to save Earth from galactic villains. But it is an excellent series, incredibly dark. But if you like dark and you like Garth Ennis, that is a series for you.
I do like dark and I do like Garth Ennis, so maybe I should pick this up. You're not the first one to tell me I would like The Boys. I really should pick this one up. Tommy, what do you got for us?
I also have a book by Garth Ennis. I have chosen The Pro. The Pro is a comedy parody of superhero comics. In it, the viewer, who is supposed to be kind of a parody of the watcher, imbibes a prostitute with some of his power cosmic, because he believes that any of humanity can become a hero. And so he gives a little bit of his cosmic power to a prostitute so that she can be a hero. And as soon as she is imbibed with this power, the other heroes of the day are informed and they greet her. So she is greeted by the League of Honor, composed of the Saint, who is kind of a Superman character, the Knight and the Squire, who are supposed to be kind of a Batman and Robin type of character, the Lady, who is kind of a Wonder Woman type character, the Lime, who is sort of a Green Lantern type character, and Speedo, who's a bit of an Aquaman type character. And so she reluctantly joins the League after she finds out that the League actually pays a stipend, because she's a single mother who's prostituting herself to support her child. And so she joins up with the League and they go out on their first mission, and she gets hit by a death ray from one of these horrible, like, B-listed villains of the Pronoun Club, and she immediately starts really tearing into them, and the League of Honor is like, you know, hey, you got to take it easy. You know, we're just supposed to, you know, capture these people and bring them to jail. And she's like, but they'll come back. Why not just put them down? And so they kind of dissuade her from this, and yet they still welcome her into the League of Honor. Later on, she's kind of giving the Saint a little bit of a blowjob, if you will. And he gets a little excited, and accidentally his sperm kind of destroys a plane, and he is caught in a bit of a scandal, and they kick the Pro out of the League of Honor, but then they decide everybody deserves a second chance, so they let her back in, and she helps them thwart a terrorist plot to blow up the city with a nuclear bomb. She captures the nuclear bomb. She's got the arm of the terrorist that she's wrestled from the terrorist body with the dead man switch, and she's got the bag with the bomb in it, and unfortunately, she has to get rid of the nuclear bomb, and the only way she can do it is to fly it herself out into space and have it detonate. Because if she transfers it off to, say, one of the other heroes like the Saint, it could trigger the bomb going off. So she sacrifices herself for the greater good, proving to the alien that even the lowest of humans could become a superhero. And it was just a really, really hilarious, fun take on superheroes, and it was just, it was great, and totally has a lot of sex. The later editions of The Pro, This came out in 2002. The later editions of the Pro have a backup story where the Pro comes head-to-head with the Ho. The Pro is giving hand jobs very, very quickly because of her super speed and making tons of money because of it. And a fellow super prostitute, who is a woman with 12 arms, kind of butts heads with the Pro because hand jobs are her thing since she has 12 hands. But it's an absolutely hilarious story. I recommend it to everyone. And it totally is about sex, unlike Tom, who's saying that not all these stories are about sex. This one is.
And now no one has to read that because you gave a page-by-page biopsy of the damn thing.
Do you want me to go over it in less detail?
our good old friend Jim Steranko sort of commented on this comic, and its reprint was actually dedicated to him because of his comment.
It's true. What it's true. Comment? It is dedicated to Jim Steranko.
His comment was, this is psychotic, nihilistic garbage produced by evil cultural terrorists.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's our Jim Steranko. Now, you guys both talked about Matt Fraction once. I'm kind of surprised no one brought up Sex Criminals. Who's read Sex Criminals?
Oh, I love Sex Criminals, but I've already talked about Sex Criminals on the podcast, so I didn't want to bring it up again.
Well, let me just say, as an R, maybe X-rated comic, that's a great one also. Does anyone have any like quick runners-up they'd like to mention? I want to mention Xenophile by Phil Foglio. Phil Foglio, probably better known for Girl Genius and Phil and Dixon, the old Dragon comic books. I'm sorry.
And also Dynamo Joe.
And Dynamo Joe. But I really enjoy his adult-themed comic book called Xenophile. And one of the things I like about it is that everyone's always having a good time. It's a comic book with very sexually explicit stories, but even when they delve into BDSM, it's very tongue-in-cheek and everyone's having a great time. I love that in my sex comic book. And now you know a little bit more about me. Does anyone else have any runners-up they'd like to talk about or mention?
I'd like to mention A Train Called Love by Garth Ennis also. I'll just read you a description of the first issue. Valerie's getting dirty phone calls, but she goes to take revenge. She meets Miles, the man of her dreams. But Miles is up against Emil and Gustav, mentally unstable guns for hire. And Valerie's sister Penny's friend, Marcy, just wants to play her own songs, but no one in the bar cares less, least of all Penny's loser boyfriend Marvin, his buddies Chip and Jeff, who want their homeboy Mike to play the race card in the dubious scheme to get rich. But Mike has just fallen out foul and foul with a certain organization with lots of K's in its name. And there's Mr. Fluffy. So they are up to issue 7 of A Train Called Love. It is a good, fun romp, and it is also sexually explicit and with a lot of foul language.
I feel pretty much just about any Garth Ennis book we could probably throw in this comic book, except for Garth Ennis's war stories. The Preacher also would be a great runner-up for this. The Preacher was also had a lot of sexual themes in it, and it had a lot of adult comment, and was also a great book.
Yeah, I mean, just some classics. I gotta say, we can't ignore Heavy Metal.
Heavy Metal.
Heavy Metal's like one of the for me one of the first things of that nature that I perused. I think today, like the Walking Dead, is actually, I think it started out sort of as an adult comic. And I think kids are so inured to just regular violence that it's sort of like maybe sort of a little more mainstream than other comics. From Hell by Alan Moore. It's another one that if you haven't read, it's adult themed but extraordinarily well done.
Yeah. Alan Moore likes to have a lot of rape in his books. So like The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Killing Joke, all of those are mature comics that deal with sexual assault.
Indeed.
Way to bring it down again, guys. Speaking of sexual assault, I would like to mention Alias, where we first meet Jessica Jones. That was one of the R-rated comic books that came out under Marvel's flagship. They called it something else. Does anyone remember what Marvel called their R-rated arm?
the Max.
So Marvel created the Max, which was their R-rated comic books. And even though they dealt with mature themes, you know, Jessica Jones had a lot in them, mostly it was violence. And a lot of those comic books are really good, and they're worth looking at, not just for the salaciousness, but also because they are just damn fine comic books.
Yeah, DC also has a line called Vertigo, which is designed and geared for adult stories.
All right, so that's it for R and X-rated comic books. Now, there's also another reason why we decided to talk about R and X-rated comic books today, and that is our interview this week is with someone who has an adult-only website, and they're a friend of ours, so we thought we'd talk to them about what made them decide to start this company. Mike, you did this interview, right?
Yes, it's with Anne, and she is going to talk to us about novel erotics, but I'll let her do the talking. Anne's with us.
Hey, Anne.
She was with us.
She was with us? Is she not with us anymore?
I still am.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
I had to pull in my 12-year-old for technical support.
I told you she was spending time with her children.
I was. Oh, I don't know. We're trying to set up Skype on Quinn's Chromebook. He's like, it's the best. Well, we can't get it to work. So, anyway.
No.
So what you want to talk about?
All right. Well, we want to talk about everything involving novel erotics.
Great. Yeah. And we're not doing video, right? We're just doing the audio.
Yeah. We have video if you want to see us, but you probably don't want to.
Well, I know what you look like, and I've seen the rest, so maybe I'm not missing much. I don't know.
I see how it is now.
You haven't all seen right. Tom in a long time.
I was going to say, well, you go drinking one Halloween with her, right?
Yeah. That was a good Halloween. That was a good Halloween.
Well, I know he was so excited he came back with a hard hat.
I forgot that.
Oh.
Okay. Well, if you want to talk about novel erotics, we can start off with, I guess I'll try to paint a picture for you. So what we're doing, the website is World Wide Web novelerotics.com. So it's not too hard to remember. If you want to go check it out, there's actually a launch video on there right now for one of our newer products that we are developing right now. So that'll give you a full picture of what's going on. Each of the novel erotics novels looks like a book. It looks like a big old book you put on your bookshelf. And what's nice about that is, you know, there are lots of fun toys inside that are discreetly stored when they're not in use. So we basically built each of these little book boxes with a little naughty story on the inside cover of the book. And then inside the empty storage space, we filled it with all kinds of goodies that go along with the story. So our newest book, which is called Hotel Affair, is a little story about two people that haven't seen each other in a long time that kind of reconnect and rekindle. And in the box itself, we have a blindfold. We've got some bubble bath. So it's kind of on the sexy, it's on the nice, sexy side. We've got some rope that you can use, however, you know, to decorate your hotel room, you know, tie your partner up, whatever you like. And then some Japanese drip candles, which, have you heard of those?
No.
Explain the Japanese drip candles.
Our resident pervert, Tom Strange, is not on the line with us, so you're going to...
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm just kidding. He is our resident pervert, but you don't have to be perverted to enjoy sex play.
Well, I am going to take a guess that drip candles are candles that you light and then drip the wax on your partner.
You're a genius. Now, here's the difference with the Japanese drip candles. And you know, these I don't know how the term Japanese came in. I guess that was, I think, partly because of their coloring. The set of candles that we have is red, purple, and black. So they're very pretty, strong colors. A drip candle is made of a low-temperature wax. So the bad thing about that is the candles don't look quite as pretty as the candles you buy at Walmart. But the good side of a drip candle is it melts at a very low temperature. So, you know, at home, you know, you light a candle and you drip wax on yourself and you're like, ow, that really hurts. So these give you a little sting, but you're not going to burn from the wax at all. And the drip candles are used to provide a little sensation. And also, you know, if you're an artist, you can create pretty patterns with the different colors of wax on someone's back. And then when you're done, you just kind of peel it off and throw it away. It's, you know, easy peasy cleanup.
Sweet.
Now, they're a lot of fun. And great with an ice cube behind them. So you get a little hot and a little cold.
Now, you are currently running a promotion that the first 25% off your first order if you sign up for your service. Is that correct?
You do, indeed. And actually, it even gets better than that if you're really saving conscious. So in the next day or two, we're going to be launching an Indiegogo campaign for Hotel Affair. And so actually, I don't know if you're familiar, but Indiegogo has a section of their website for crowdfunding called After Dark. And so that's where all the fun, naughty stuff is. So hopefully I've taught you something new. Are you writing this down?
I do not need to write down. I have memorized where all the fun, naughty stuff is on the internet already. So,
and the beautiful part is it's also being recorded.
Oh, there you go. So he can go back and play it again.
That's right.
So the Indiegogo After Dark campaign, we will be offering these novels, and we just talked about Hotel Affair, which is the novel that we're most promoting right now. That one will be available on launch for $30 with free shipping, which is like a super deal. And that's for the first 2 weeks of the Indiegogo launch. But all of the other novels will have a nice discount as well. We have a couple other spicy novels as well. We have Rendezvous. That's really, we have lots of interesting, fun stuff in Rendezvous. There's a vibrator. There's a plug if you're really wanting to walk on the wild side a little bit. But there's also some really fun, you know, middle-of-the-road stuff. Like we have a massage candle from Earthly Body, and that is just the best thing ever. I think everyone needs one of those. The massage candles are made by a company. They make everything from hemp. And the oil, believe it or not, hemp seed oil is just, it's fantastic. It's not super greasy. And so you think of massage oil being, you know, you don't want to slide all over the place. This is just a nice moisturizer. It smells great. And, it's all natural, so it's really wonderful.
So, Anne, would you say it's a deep penetrating oil?
It is. It actually is a deep penetrating oil. Oh, I need you guys to come sell this stuff for me.
Well, LT's a great salesman.
So we have the deep penetrating all natural hemp seed massage candle from Earthly Body. And of course the Rendezvous set also has a blindfold with it. We tried to pick some very pretty blindfolds that were just a little bit, you know, above the basic model. So, you know, you have a little more fun with it. This might be, I can't remember Mike's friend. What was his name? Chris? I don't really remember, but anyway, I have a book just for him too. It's called Evening Tea. And so Evening Tea is the little storyline is a proper English suitor goes to court his fine lady friend at her house. They're having high tea, and somehow he ends up all tied up. And so, of course, in that box we have wrist cuffs and a collar and a leash and a little paddle, a feather tickler, and a couple other little fun things. So you got your whole little bondage set going there.
So these are perfect presents for a married couple. If you like a husband wants to get laid and thinks,
exactly.
I buy this for my wife, I'm actually getting a present for myself. And for the women out there, they could be like, well, I'll just buy this for the men, and I'm actually getting a present for myself too.
Exactly. You know, guys can't go wrong with this. One way or the other, if that box gets opened, it's a good day. It's a good day.
Especially if you come home and find the book is off the shelf.
Exactly. And you'll actually see that in the video for Hotel Affair. So we actually had a New Orleans couple do the video for us. And it is PG, so it's not that exciting, but it's a lot of fun. So she takes the book off the bookshelf and texts him a hotel room number, and, you know, everyone's happy.
This is also nice because I know a lot of our listeners have children at home, and it's tough to hide your sex toys. So now you've got that built-in hideaway with the book.
Exactly. So, as you well know, David and I are parents as well, and I have three kids, and, you know, they are all in various stages of Snoopy. So keeping anything hid is virtually impossible, which is why we decided to, you know, try the secret book storage. And a funny story from one of David's friends, we shipped a book to her. And you know how everybody gets excited in the house when a package comes to the door. The kids are like, oh, you know, we want to open it. So they went to mom, opened it, and she knew what it was. But she opened it up slowly, and they're like, oh, it's books. And they walked off. So that's like, that's exactly the reaction we wanted. So
this must be popular with bachelorette parties too, I would imagine.
Yes. And I'm glad you said that. Our first novel that we actually came out with is called Something Blue. Something Blue is actually available on Amazon as well, because it's kind of PG. And we haven't gotten the rated R versions on Amazon.com yet. But Something Blue has a really nice tiara in it. It has the bachelorette sash, a little card game to play with your friends when you're out on the town, and a few other bachelorette supplies. So it's a lot of fun. Plus you have a little box to put all your mementos in when you come home. And of course, you know, people like to buy the boxes for the newlyweds as well.
Now, Josh looked through your site and saw that you have a D12 sex die.
A what?
a 12-sided sex die.
Dice.
Well, it's singular, right?
Yes.
So that would be a die. Do you know what I'm talking about?
So I wonder, no. So we don't have one of those in the novels. I wonder if that one was on.
Where did he see it then?
You know, I think
it wasn't in the novel. I think it was in other things.
Oh, well, that's probably so. On one of the things that we've done is we've suggested a couple other fun products that are on other websites. So that's okay. In the other shopping. I bet that's what he saw.
Probably.
Which is awfully fun. And we actually thought about using the die in a future book with lots of little fun stuff in it. We have a long list of novels that we'll be creating over the next couple of years. One of them will probably be an overnighter, you know, so it would have something like the die in it. And all of those fun little things you need when you hook up in a hotel room and, you know, can't go home for all your stuff. So
here's the million-dollar question. Who is the author of these stories?
For the most part, it's me. So I really did not want to be a writer. So that's not something I really want to continue. But it was kind of fun. I really liked writing Hotel Affair. That one was extra fun.
So you're not outsourcing them to India?
No, I am not.
Would you like our fans to write erotic stories for you and send them to you?
Yeah, they're only because they have to be like 200 words. It's not a long story.
All right. Now everybody has the challenge.
A 200 word story. That's it.
And how can they send you their 200 word erotic story?
They can send them to Anne, at novelerotics.com.
Excellent. And that's the website you can go to also.
Exactly.
So, Anne, tell me about the juice.
So the juice is just some of the feedback that we've gotten from bloggers and customers. And so if you look, you'll see a rotating display. I assume you're looking at the front page of the website.
And I am. I'm looking on my tiny phone screen.
It's so tiny, LT.
It is.
Do you have like one of those notes or something?
I don't have anything nearly as explodey as that.
Right below the words "the juice," there's a rotating display of customer feedback, so you can see what other people have had to say about the books.
So, if people were to write in and review the books, I will put it in the juice,
or I'll put it on the buy page. So, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. So it's almost interactive even.
Yes. Yes. In fact, this is a new venture into technology for me, but I recently installed a chat bot on the site. I'm not logged in right now, but that is one thing I can go and be available. So you see, now that I've told you this, you're just going to log in to harass me. But that was very interesting. It's far too easy to do stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
I gotta have a story. I gotta have a background. I'm getting to the age where it's just not enough to, you know, for the guy to deliver the pizza. I want to know the guy's backstory. Like, why is he delivering pizza at his age? I mean, and doesn't he have other pizzas to deliver? Why is he taking so long? He's gonna lose a whole bunch of tips. All these things just taunt me.
And does he wonder why the girls always order extra anchovies?
What? Okay, you've gone too far, LT. That's just weird now.
I thought they were ordering extra sausage.
There we go. Thank you. You are the writer. Well, that's a good place to end it. And tell everybody your website again.
It is World Wide Web. NovelErotics.com.
Awesome.
Go check out Indiegogo After Dark. There are actually a lot of entertaining things out there, but, you know, we are actually going to be one of the only things that is campaigning on After Dark right now. So hopefully it'll get lots of attention. All right. Have a great evening, guys.
How did that devolve so quickly into us and getting invited to an orgy? I'm just asking, Mike. It was a great interview, but I'm not going. Wait, did you cut that part out?
You're going. Who are you kidding?
Going. Or should I say I'm coming? It's either one of the two. And speaking of coming, Josh, why don't you come on over here and give us a tangent?
So earlier, LT was talking about the League of Honor and the Pro with the Knight and the Squire, the Batman parodies. So it just reminded me of, like, who are your favorite parody or complete rip-off characters that you like more than the original?
The Inferior Five. The Inferior Five rule, and they're one of the best comedy/parody teams out there. And nobody better say the Great Lakes Avengers because they're not a parody, and we will have fights. Mike, what's your thoughts?
Lots of fights.
We will have the fights.
All the fights.
All the fights are belong to us.
The Mike? Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Oh, that's a great one. Name a couple.
Stone Boy, who can turn into stone. Unfortunately, he is not conscious of what is going on when he is stone, so he never knows when to turn back. Porcupine Pete. No, wait, that's not it. That's a supervillain. Infectious Lass. Polar Kid, Chlorophyll Kid. It's a great
Chlorophyll
lineup.
Kid. I like that one. In the inferior five, you had a dumb bunny who was kind of strong, kind of a female bombshell type character who was also kind of a klutz. You had Merryman, who was kind of a takeoff on Aquaman, and the Blimp, who was just this kind of enormous guy who could inflate himself and could fly slowly, awkwardly.
And yeah, that was a Silver Age comic. That's a weird pull.
I love the Inferior Five. You didn't like the Inferior Five?
I didn't know you were that big a Silver Age guy. It's a good book.
It's a great play. White Feather, he was the archer of the group who was also kind of terrified of anything going wrong. Oh, hey, I just read that the Inferior Five had teamed up with the League of Substitute Heroes once. The Brave and the Bold, number 35. It's the Inferior Five and the Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Oh, my God, I have to own that.
I'm looking on eBay right now. Tommy, what's yours?
You know, it's hard to say. I would probably say maybe the Mighty Mites. Back in the 80s, there was a couple of comic book issues involving parodies of superheroes that were basically Mighty Mite size. There were tiny versions of the superheroes. But then again, there was a lot of crazy parody ripoffs in the 80s.
If I was going to go with something like that, I would have to say the
Mighty Heroes,
the
X-Men. Right?
Oh, the Mighty Heroes. That was great.
The Mighty Heroes, yeah. Yes, they were great.
Yeah.
That was such a good cartoon.
It was.
If
you guys haven't seen that. Strongman?
Rope Man.
Diaper Man?
That was one. Diaper Man? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Diaper Man. Yeah. Weatherman.
Weatherman.
Who was the chick? Damn it.
Cuckoo Man.
Cuckoo Man. Oh, my God. I loved Cuckoo Man.
I can't think of any
others.
Was there
a female? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
What was the name of that?
I don't think there was a female character.
I don't know.
There has to be a female character. It's a team.
I think that's it. I think that's all of them.
I think that's it, yeah.
Cuckoo Man, Diaper Man, Rope Guy.
Rope Guy.
I don't think he was Rope Guy.
Rope Man.
Okay.
Rope Man.
They're all mans.
Rope all right, man. Fun.
Yeah.
What was that group called again?
I think that's it.
The Mighty Heroes.
The Mighty Heroes.
Yeah, that was great. Josh, what's yours?
I have to go for the one shot, and I know Mike loves this comic too. Justice League Antarctica.
Oh, that's a great one.
It's basically the Injustice League gets caught on camera accidentally saving people, and they were going to rob
a bank.
Yeah,
but there was somebody beat them to it, and they were ticked off, so they beat up the guys robbing the bank and became heroes.
And they realized they could probably make more money as Justice League members than they're making as villains. So the Justice League shuttles them off to Antarctica, where they assume nothing's going to happen. Little do they know, a mad scientist has combined the genetics of penguins with piranhas. And the Justice League Antarctica has to fight him. And it's Big Sur, Clock King, Clue Master, Major Disaster, Multi-Man.
Major Disaster. Now there's a superpower.
Mighty Bruce. And then, of course, the Scarlet Skier. But he gets bad directions and doesn't actually show up. He just flies around trying to get there but never makes it.
It's too bad. He was the only one that had some real power for attacking.
And Nort Esplanade Kneesmacker, the worst Green Lantern of all time.
Well, I guess someone has to be the worst of all time.
I'm
pretty sure that was actually Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Clock King.
One of Tom's favorite supervillains, who, by the way, Clock King is the main bad guy in not only Green Arrow right now, but also Deathstroke.
Really?
That's right.
Start reading those.
Two Clock Kings.
One and two. Clock King's great. I mean, I'm obsessed with time myself. I always like to be early, and just a super villain that actually pays attention to the clock just kind of speaks to me for some stupid reason. Was that everybody? I think that was.
That's everybody.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box?
I've got the Pride of Baghdad. It's by Brian K. Vaughan, who also wrote Why the Last Man, Ex Machina, and Saga. It's a really good book. It is about a pride of lions that escaped from the Baghdad Zoo after an American bombing as they struggled to survive in the bombed-out streets of the city. It's actually based on, well, loosely based on true events. The reason I bring it up, not only does it have adult themes in it, but it is also one of the most challenged books. A lot of people are trying to ban this book from being in not just libraries but in schools because of its sexually explicit conduct.
You mean between animals?
All right.
Yes.
Oh. Really? Huh. All right. I'm sorry you threw me there. I'm sorry.
Totally. I didn't see that one coming.
It's a legend.
But Tom, what did you got in the back of the long box?
Back of the long box, I've got Executive Assistant Iris. This is a pretty much an action comic. There's not a lot of plot twists in this. It's pretty much straight up action. It's kind of a rated mature for violence and action. It is it's a story about a woman who has been raised up ever since as a child to be both a servant and also a bodyguard to a leader of a large corporation. And she not only is there to serve him in front of other board members and such, like tea, coffee, etc., but also to handle any sort of wet work that he needs in terms of having people brought into line or having people eliminated to further his ambitions. And it's kind of an interesting read. Like I said, it's very straightforward. It's pretty much like watching a action flick, only in comic form. But I recommend it if you like action flicks.
Well, that sounds like a great read. What year was that? How long ago?
2013. So a few years ago.
All right, I'm
not too long
to
ago.
To be able to do that.
But since we're doing an issue of mature things, I figured I would bring it up now.
And since we're doing mature things, and I like to talk about social justice and equality, I'm going to talk about Deaf Bunny Studios. Deaf Bunny Studios is the first and so far the only pornography company run entirely by and entirely for people who are deaf or hard of hearing. According to Wire magazine, Deaf Bunny was started by Dino Capone, who is completely deaf. And they now have two websites called Deaf Gone Wild and Deaf Strippers. And they've recently released their first full-length DVD roomie, Naughty Deaf Roommates, which features deaf and hard-of-hearing actors using American Sign Language to communicate the normal stuff like, oh, hey, you're the pizza delivery guy, except they're signing it. And the pizza delivery guy also happens to know how to sign. Weirdly, this is a big step forward. You don't really see a lot of people with disabilities in pornography. And Deaf Bunny, bless their hearts, are trying to kind of break that mold. And I've actually watched a few of the videos. And they're well shot, well done. Everyone in them is incredibly attractive. And there's a lot more signing than talking. And I do read
the
sign
music?
Language. There is no theme music. I actually, you know what? There is a little bit of theme music. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I guess they're trying to entertain us. But when people's hands are being used for something, a lot of times they're doing dirty talk, which is pretty funny. Just saying. That's my social justice for the week. My dog thinks it's funny, too.
Trivia question. Which Avenger is deaf?
Well, deaf or deaf in one ear? Because Hawkeye is deaf in one ear.
I hate playing trivia with you, Tom.
Well, you should. I gotta. All right. Name one superhero, not a villain, one superhero that is completely deaf. That would be the Blue Ear. The Blue Ear. It was a comic book created for the Blue Ear. It was a comic book. It's a one-shot comic book created for a young boy who was very upset that he had to wear a hearing aid. The mother's name was Christiana Disalejandro. She wrote to Marvel Comics. They did a one-shot with Iron Man and called Sound Effects. It was published December 2014. And it was created by Nelson Ribeiro. And Blue Ear is still out there. He's a superhero with a super-powered hearing aid that allows him to have a few minor superpowers. Yeah, the Blue Ear. It's real. You guys are looking it up right now.
I thought Hawkeye was totally deaf.
Hawkeye's only deaf in one ear.
Are you sure?
And he can wear... Well, I'm reading the thing right now, and he says he lost 80% of his hearing. He has to wear an aid in one ear. Yeah. So he lost 80% of his hearing, and he does wear hearing aids.
Yeah, 80% is not all deaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be 100%, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Don't use math on this. I was told there'd be no math.
There's math, Mike. There's math.
That was a good Trump right there. I was told there'd be no math.
This is totally unfair. This whole podcast is rigged. People tell me I have a beautiful voice.
Is tremendous.
All right, guys. That's all. I do very good things. We're talking about pornography. Is it okay to say grab him in the pussy?
A lot of people are saying this podcast is fantastic.
It is never okay to say that.
You know, I think the best thing I ever heard as a response to that was, like, a couple of the Red Sox were just walking to the bus, and one of them stopped and goes, hey, we're going to our locker room, but man, we don't talk like that at all. You know, it's, hey, how's your day going? Good game. You know, you're kind of in a slump, but let's go. They just kind of started talking about what they usually talk about, and no one has ever said, go grab them by the bleep. So, and I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I've never heard anyone just say that.
Mostly stuffed into one.
Yeah, I've been stuffed in a lot of lockers. Let's face it, we weren't really joining into... We were comic book nerds before it was cool. We weren't exactly joining in the locker room talk.
Please, please help. Someone get me out of here. That was mostly my locker room talk.
Wait, what was the
Excuse
name
me,
of our...
kind sir.
Sir, could you just... The lever, the just little thing there.
The latch, it's very simple. Yeah.
Can someone call my mom? My pants were taken away from me. And my underpants.
And Stop stereotyping ourselves.
That's right. That never happened.
Yeah, that never happened.
Ooh.
You were hung up on a hook by your brother till you almost bled out. I'm talking to you, Josh.
Obviously, you're talking to Josh. Yeah. He's the only one with a psycho brother.
Yeah, weren't you wearing like silk underwear or something that just wouldn't rip?
Silk?
I was a little kid wearing silk underwear. How come these things didn't rip? How long were you on that hook?
It was a long time. It was long enough for my legs to fall asleep. How's that?
Oh my God.
Before the underwear finally tore. Yeah.
Before the underwear finally tore is also a good name for a Wham cover band.
Real laugh hiding fake laugh hiding real pain.
Yeah, you got. All right. Do we have any plugs to get away from this horrible image of Josh hanging on a hook?
Oh, I'm just going to go with my local comic book shop again, Friendly Neighborhood Comics. It's just friendlycomics.com. Go check them out.
All right. I would also like to plug Outside the Long Box at the Long Box Guys. That is our Twitter account. Please go on there. And a new sponsor, Unbreakable Underoos. Unbreakable Underoos for when you really want to torture your brother. They will not break or rip. Hey, why is that young boy wearing silk and Kevlar underwear? Tommy, what do you got?
I would like to plug this month's giveaway. We are giving away Thunderbolts Ultimate Collection to someone who emails us at luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com. Email us, let us know what you like about the podcast, what you don't like, suggest topics, etc., so forth, and you will be entered in to win a copy of Thunderbolts Ultimate Collection. And also, I would like to plug IanLino.com, IanLino.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things.
Well, I have two Kickstarters from friends of the podcast that I would like to promote. One is Chasing Hitler, issues number 2, 3, and 4 by our friend Haley Nitz. And the other one is Die Kitty Die by Dan Parent. He's got a Kickstarter on right now.
I'm sorry, what's the name of that comic book?
Die Kitty Die, which is also adult comic.
And by the way, if my good friend Tommy ever gets off his butt and unloads that Dan Parent interview, we talk about nothing but Die Kitty Die. It's a great comic book, especially if you're a fan of the old Harvey comics, because a lot of those are parodied. He goes out of his way, I should mention, to say that they're not really parodying the exact Harvey characters, but read the comic book and you tell me. It's a great comic. You've read them, right, Mike?
No, I haven't read it yet, although I have supported the Kickstarter for the second volume of Die Kitty Die.
Well, I got one from Dan, and it's really, really kind of funny. Do you know what the premise is?
Yes, she is a TV star, and the network has decided to kill her, so that way their ratings will go up. Is that right?
That's right, and she's also a real witch in real life. She plays kind of a Sabrina-esque character, and they're having a terrible time actually killing her. And it's kind of monkey shines and hijinks all about that. And it's really very funny.
I've got it in my stack of comics to read. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah, I really should add that to mine at Kamikaze. That's a real good one. Oh, and thanks, by the way, for telling me to get the Howling Commandos one. Man, that's a fun read. I'm having a great time with that.
I'd also like to thank Kirby Crackle. You can go to KirbyCracklemusic.com to check out their tunes or go to iTunes or Bandcamp. They are the providers of our Geek Rock, who will play part of one of their songs at the end of the podcast also.
Ooh, will you play Rig Capacity? That's my favorite.
No.
Damn it. All right. Jeez. This acid reflux is making you mean as shit. God damn. All right. Anybody else? If not, I'm going to say goodbye to all of my friends. And Josh, I wandered in here kind of off the street. Was this your sector?
No, I'm no longer maintaining this particular sector. Move along.
So this isn't your sector?
This is not my sector.
All right, just making sure. And Mike, what is Thinking Outside the Long Box to you?
A slow, painful march to the infinity. No, I'm just kidding.
Excellent.
It's like drunk history, but for comics.
And remember what I always say, don't diss what you hate, just promote what you love. And Tommy, have a good night. Bye.
Space. It seems I've yet to find my place. I'm guarding 2814. I don't know why it's chosen me, but from the corner of my eye, I catch a glimpse of evil light. The fear tries to swallow me like I'm just some guy with